Today's program has been brought to you by White Oak Pastures, a five-generation Georgia-based beef and poultry farm determined to conduct business in an honorable manner. For more information, visit whiteoakpastures.com. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
This is How to Behave on the Heritage Radio Network. In late October, Michael Bloomberg, the outgoing mayor of New York City, made some comments about the Department of Health's restaurant letter grade system. According to the New York Observer, he said, "Those that don't want to clean up their kitchen, I know why they're bitching, but I would suggest don't eat in restaurants unless they have an A." Restaurant owners and managers like myself popped more than a few blood vessels over that one, not because we are against the letter grade system, but because we're appalled by how poorly it is run, how untrained the inspectors are, and how inconsistent the inspections are. This comment is classic Bloomberg, insensitive, arrogant, and dismissive of opposing points of view. Perhaps right on some facts, restaurants are certainly safer since the system was put in place, but wrong on others. B and C grade restaurants have been deemed safe by the Department of Health. Bloomberg is a bully with no bedside manner. And he's blind to the fact that the Department of Health needs to be fixed. We're going to talk about the DOH and lots of other issues facing New York restaurants. This is How to Behave on the Heritage Radio Network. I feel like I just guaranteed a C on our next health inspection. So today, in the studio with us, Hannah Howard on my right. How are you, Hannah?
I'm good. How are you, Brian?
I'm good. Always good to see you. And also joining us in the studio today, Elena Matt.
Hi, Brian.
You have so many qualifications, but they're not relevant to your being here today. You're just here because you're awesome, and you have some opinions you're going to share with us today, right?
Yes.
Awesome. On the phone, we have Andrew Ridgey of the New York City Hospitality Alliance. How are you, Andrew?
Very well, Brian. I loved the introduction.
So did I.
Did you? Good. I'm sure. I feel pretty confident that nobody from the Department of Health pays any attention to the world around them, or at least that's my experience with them. So they're not listening to this show or reading the news or anything. So
on prior times that you've talked about the Department of Health, you've tried to reach out to them, correct?
Yes, and they don't respond.
It's so funny.
They don't respond. So,
but there's still the fear that they're going to blacklist you forever and ever.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think I don't have that fear, but
it doesn't seem like they work that way.
There have been articles written about Department of Health inspections, and I am the only New York restaurateur who's quoted by name. Everybody else who speaks anonymously.
Yeah, a lot of people are not comfortable speaking publicly.
Yeah. All right, so let's get to you, Andrew. Let's start with the basics. Tell us about the New York City Hospitality Alliance, who you are and what you do.
Sure. The New York City Hospitality Alliance launched a little bit over 1 year ago, basically to give a voice to New York City restaurant operators and nightlife operators, you know, with more than 25,000 food service establishments throughout the city, employing more than 250,000 people. We're critical to the economic footprint, but also the social landscape of the city. And, you know, when it comes to Department of Health and other regulatory issues, it is very difficult for a business owner to operate here. So we felt it was necessary to really unite the industry and advocate for a more fair and equitable regulatory environment that, you know, of course, protects public health and public interest, but also helps support business owners so they continue to, you know, create more jobs and, you know, keep New York City the hospitality capital and the culinary capital of the world. So our number one part of our mission is political advocacy, but then we also do a lot of education ranging from food safety compliance to labor law seminars and how to deal with health care reform, what it means for the hospitality industry, and a lot of just general consulting. You know, I always say my real job, I'm almost like a restaurateur therapist. You know, people have issues, and we try and help them get through the issues so they can do what they're supposed to do, run a successful business that allows, you know, this industry to grow and for people to eat good food and experience great hospitality.
Cool.
I have a question. One of the things that I I talk directly to a lot of restaurant owners. I'm in wholesale. I sell wine. Mm-hmm. And one recurring theme with all of my kvetching customers is how difficult information is to come by, how it's so hard to understand exactly what their expectations are, what the DOH's expectations are, and how to comply. And I just wonder, how have you been able to find appropriate information? Who are you primarily liaising with?
Perfect. Well, first I'll start from like 10,000 feet and then get down to kind of boots on the ground specifically to your question. Number one, really what we've done with the Hospitality Alliance is brought in a lot of the leading professionals ranging from, you know, attorneys to different consultants that have been working specifically in New York City for years and years that know the ins and outs from an operational standpoint, but also from a standpoint when it relates to state liquor authority or the health department. So we really have tasked ourselves with making the information easy and accessible, taking the complicated encyclopedia-like amounts of information about the health code or about labor laws and presenting it in a more straightforward bullet point fashion. This morning we hosted a seminar. We had 60-plus restaurateurs listening to three different people talk about what healthcare reform means, how they're going to comply with the industry. So we've really tried to make this information accessible because you could spend years trying to locate it on different agency websites. We've also just gone to the agencies directly. Somewhat related to the health department, we worked with the mayor's office on a permit and sign checklist, which has a listing of all the permits and signs restaurants need to post in front of the house, back of the house, and worker areas. So you can walk through and say, oh, you know, I need to post this sign here, that permit there. Again, making it easy, accessible, all in one place. When it comes to specifically the letter grade system, we've brought in-house, we offer the food protection certification in 2.5 days instead of 5 in English and Spanish. And our instructors are people from the regulatory world that then moved into the private sector and have worked for restaurants. So they understand the health code, but they also understand what it's like to run a restaurant. And then we try and answer questions when our members call or send them links to specific areas of the code that are relevant to their business. So it's just going through a lot of information and trying to, again, make it clear, concise, and easy to, you know, to get to.
And it based on what I've read, it sounds like you're doing a lot of conversations directly with city council members and City Hall on trying to get like changes to the DOH inspection, the letter grade system, stuff like that.
This past year, we were very successful in getting several bills passed through the City Council that will really ensure high food safety standards, but reduce some of the burdens associated with the system, as well as what I think is really one of the most important things we need to do is kind of change the regulatory culture. So instead of it just being, you know, inspector walks in, writes you a violation, it needs to be more of an educational process where inspector comes in, if they cite a violation, they'll point out the violation, explain why it is a violation, and then give you an opportunity to hopefully correct it before you're just immediately issued a fine. So several bills did pass through the City Council, one of which will create consultative inspections that the health department will actually conduct. Another one will create an ombudsman's office within the city that can basically receive calls and emails from business owners to address concerns, etc. Which
that doesn't exist now?
No, I mean there's different phone numbers, there's places you can call, but you know, if it's a business owner, you call 311.
Does anybody answer those phones?
Well, exactly. Well, we've said we need someone in-house that you can actually call and say, hey, I have a question about, you know, Section 3 of this code, Condition 4 for this violation. What exactly does that mean? Or can say, hey, you know, I had an inspection and, you know, this was a problem. You know, so they can actually address it. It'll also, one of the bills will actually set up an advisory board, and the advisory board will have representatives from government, the industry, hopefully someone from the Hospitality Alliance, along with other food safety experts. And their task is going to be to review the letter grade system on a yearly basis and then make recommendations to improve it.
How can I be on that committee?
Well, we'll definitely talk offline.
Okay.
And that will, you know, hopefully set the stage for some real reforms. You know, one of the things we've been pushing for, and hopefully it's going to get done through rulemaking, is extend the fine or penalty relief to A's that are received upon adjudication.
I wish we had time to explain to our listeners what that means, but part of the problem with the system is, like, I've owned a restaurant for 6 years. I've been dealing with the Department of Health for a long time. I still don't understand the grading system entirely. I call my attorney and I say, you know, I think we got a B. We need to pay fines and then get reinspected. And he's like, no, you got an A. You don't have to pay the fines. I don't even know what's going on. The adjudication thing is confusing.
To put it in kind of layman's language, especially for all the people that are going out and eating at restaurants and see a B or a C or grade pending, this is the easiest way to understand it. It's not intuitive. You know, in school, growing up, 90 to 100 is an A, 80 to 90 is a B, 70 to 80 is a C. In the New York City's letter grade system, a restaurant can accrue more than 1,000 points, but it only takes 14 points to get a B or 28 points to get a C. 28 points out of more than 1,000
points.
Yeah,
that makes no sense.
That's, if you do kind of like reverse math, that's right. Like you're getting
a 90. So how does anyone get an A ever? It sounds like the odds are so stacked against you that it's absurd.
Well, that's one of the difficulties. That's why I think everyone really needs to focus on how to comply with the health code, which is absolute. You know, no restaurateur, the last thing anyone wants to do is get one of their customers sick. You know, that's kind of the last thing. So it's in everyone's interest to, you know, ensure you're implementing proper food safety practices. But then there's ways that you can change the system that will hopefully allow, you know, restaurants that are safe and sanitary to earn A's. I would just say even a C-graded restaurant is deemed safe and sanitary enough by the city to serve the public.
And that's
right. It's not safe, like they're shutting down C's.
Right. That's exactly what pisses me off so much about Bloomberg's comment, is that the city has decided that these restaurants are safe to serve the public, and he is telling people not to patronize them.
Yeah, I don't understand. Is he, like, uneducated about how this system works because he's so far removed? Like, why would
he? Well,
make
it sounds like he's taken much broader view of it. Like, I've instituted this regulatory system whereby I'm giving the public tools that they need to be informed consumers, as opposed to delving into the nitty-gritty, which is what we're talking about, which is why an organization like this was founded to begin with,
right.
Because
I think his views are not really
need to be
his views are not really nuanced. It's similar to what he's saying about stop and frisk, which is you look at some big overall statistic,
right.
Crime is down,
right.
And say therefore it's good,
stop and frisk is good,
rather than asking what sort of toll this is taking on the fabric of our society.
Right.
He's not asking for any information about the letter grade system other than salmonella patients in hospitals is down now.
Though we can argue that because an organization like the Hospitality Alliance has been founded and there is prospect of reform in the future, that the system isn't perfect and that
it's
it needs.
And that's
course,
that's a good good segue to, we're going to have to take a quick break, but when we come back, we are going to talk about the new liberal progressive future of the Department of Health in New York City. This is How to Behave on the Heritage Radio Network.
You are listening to Iggy Dean. This song is called Lung. Stay tuned for more from How to Behave on the Heritage Radio Network.org.
White Oak Pastures is the only farm in the United States that has its own USDA-inspected red meat abattoir or slaughterhouse and its own USDA-inspected poultry abattoir or slaughterhouse. We partner with Whole Foods to deliver our high-quality meat and poultry from Miami, Florida, all the way to Princeton, New Jersey. One family, one farm, five generations, 145 years. a full circle return to sustainable land stewardship and humane animal stockmanship. For more information, please visit our website, whiteoakpastures.com.
Okay, I started with a little editorial on Michael Bloomberg, and so I feel like I need to explain where I'm coming from. I voted for the guy three times. I'm not afraid to admit it. I am not like all those New Yorkers who complain about him, and then you look at the statistics and you're like, somebody's lying. A lot of people who said they didn't vote for him did. I voted for him. I think he was the right mayor for New York post 9/11. I think he's done a lot of great things for the city. I just think he's a little out of touch on some issues, and I think he has really bad bedside manner. I think that's his biggest problem. And I was really pissed off when he told New Yorkers not to patronize New York businesses. I think places probably went out of business because of that comment, and people lost their jobs, and that's not what you should be doing as a mayor. And I think the Department of Health needs to exist. I don't want to live in a New York City where restaurants aren't getting inspected by somebody. And I think the letter grade system has made everybody cleaner and safer. I think it's a good concept. I just think it's horribly implemented. The inspectors do not seem trained. Some of them do, some of them don't. Some of them seem knowledgeable, some of them are not. It's really, really inconsistent. And we are a very clean restaurant, and we have had a broad range of inspections. And everybody I know has the same story. One guy will come in and give you an A, another guy will come in and give you a C, and nothing is different. They're just choosing different things.
Right, well, when you have thousands of possible points and citations, it's like, how could it not be?
Yeah, and I believe that if you were dead set, you could give any restaurant a C. Like, if you stay long enough and look hard enough,
absolutely,
you will find a piece of food that's 2 degrees out of temp or something. But I think what the Hospitality Alliance is doing is great. We're not trying to replace the system. We're not trying to get rid of it. We're just trying to make it effective and trying to make it work, right, Andrew?
Exactly. 100%. And that's really what our focus is how can we get the voice of the New York City restaurant industry into government? So whether it's the letter grade system or any new laws or regulations that are being considered or introduced, have perspective and input from the industry. So we're not, you know, part of a system that is just fining us or make running a business even more difficult and complicated than it already is.
Yeah. What do you think of the future with Bill de Blasio? A supposed true progressive, we're going to find out, but the New York's first real liberal mayor in 20 years.
It's going to be interesting. It's definitely going to be a different administration. You know, also what's very important to recognize is that, you know, about half of the 51 city council seats are going to be turning over. We're going to have a new city council speaker who obviously has a lot of power in determining the types of legislation that gets passed. So I think, you know, Mr. de Blasio, he has been vocal about issues with the culture of fining and that there needs to be regulatory reform. So we hope that he will work with the Hospitality Alliance and will really push to continue reforms with the letter grade system and just kind of the culture of fining, which he's been very vocal about and vocally opposed. So we hope that we'll see some progress there. On some of the other issues, we may not always agree. However, we do hope that we will have a voice in a system where if there are bills proposed that, you know, increase regulations, increase the cost to business, that they're not done in such a way where it's just blindly passed and then the business owners are left hanging out trying to figure out how to comply.
That's great. I have a handful of questions for you just on specific topics.
Sure.
Does your organization have a point of view on the things like the bans on trans fats, the attempted ban on soda, the smoking ban in New York City? Are these issues for you guys at all?
Well, I think, you know, the smoking ban, that's a long gone issue. The soda ban, we were involved with. Our concern, you know, most of our members, you know, sugary drinks larger than 16 ounces was not a huge concern, but the devil's always in the details. First and foremost, we have to recognize that the soda ban originally was passed through the Board of Health, which is a mayorally appointed board, and they can just pass these types of regulations. So our concern was whether or not the unelected board would have the statutory authority to ban a lawful product being sold in only some establishments within the city. Because that's obviously sets a very bad precedent. If they can do that, who says that they don't have the same authority to limit the size of chicken?
Or the number of bottles of wine that you can order.
Exactly. Yeah. So it kind of opens up, you know, a Pandora's box. So we're really concerned about just which regulatory authorities have what jurisdiction, what authority. So, you know, that was one major issue that we had there.
How many members do you have now? You said that the organization is a little over a year old.
Yeah, we already have over 1,000 members.
Can you give an idea of who mostly these members are, or do they come from a broad range? I'm thinking size of establishment type, you know, more bar, more restaurant.
Sure. So we actually launched. What happened was many you know, prominent members within the hospitality industry came from the basically operator side, from kind of BR Guest, Steve Hansen, mm-hmm. a la carte, which is Carmine's mm-hmm, and Virgil's, mm-hmm. The EMM group, you know, people that own bars, larger restaurants, nightclubs, mm-hmm. Some hotels like the Standards. So it's a pretty diverse kind of coalition of business owners that came together to get the organization off the ground. What we also did was we tapped some of the major suppliers to the industry and said, you know, it's all in the best interest. We all work closely together, so we should all come together under the umbrella of the Hospitality Alliance. So companies ranging from, you know, wines and spirits, from Empire and Southern to Micros and NCR Aloha, the point of sale system, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Some payroll companies, paper companies, a really, again, diverse coalition, got the organization off the ground. But now I'd say at least half of our members are small mom and pops, you know, outside of Manhattan, you know, from single unit operators to multi-unit operators. Our goal over the next few years is to engage every business, you know, restaurant, bar, nightlife, that historically hasn't been involved. So whether you operate a Korean restaurant or an Italian restaurant, whether you have one location or 10 locations, 5 employees or 500, you know, we all have the similar interests, and the letter graded systems impacting all of us, the labor laws impacting all of us. So we'd all speak with one unified voice.
Do you have a stance on minimum wage laws? I recently got a letter from the National Restaurant Association telling me how hard they were fighting to prevent any increase in the national minimum wage, and I was appalled and wrote them an angry letter back.
Good for you.
Yeah, so we actually have a very, what we consider a very progressive stance, different than many other associations, even representing the hospitality or restaurant industry. We did not oppose the minimum wage law. In fact, I'd say most, even dishwashers or the lower end of the pay scale in this industry in New York City are making more than the minimum wage.
Right.
So we didn't have an issue with any increase. We think people work hard; they should get paid. What's unique, though, is when it comes to the tipped employees. Many, you know, there's a tip credit. Again, not to get into the weeds, but many employees that are, you know, waiters, waitresses, make, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6 times the minimum wage when you calculate their tips in.
Right.
And the employer is able to take that $2.25 credit. So instead of paying them the minimum wage, they can pay them a little bit less. So what we said is that instead of increasing that tip wage, just keep it frozen at $5 an hour. If that employee, when you calculate their tips, makes, you know, more than a living wage, that way employers could continue to invest in their business, hire more employees, hopefully open up new businesses without seeing a huge increase in labor costs for employees who are already making, you know, $20+ an hour.
That sounds like so many other things that you're talking about that are just pure common sense. Why is it so hard to get this point across?
Well, I think we're trying now. You know, the Hospitality Alliance, we just launched over a year ago. We really want to start being proactive instead of reactive, as the industry historically has been. It's not enough just to say, no, 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 we don't like this proposed policy or law. We can say, no, 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 we don't like it, but then we need to propose some sort of solution. And we think that when it comes, especially with our minimum wage proposal, it's something that's very progressive. The people that are working on the lower end of the spectrum, absolutely, they get that increase. They're working hard, they deserve it. But for those employees who are already making multiple times the minimum wage, why increase the labor cost from the employer? Let them reinvest into their business and spur economic development. It's progressive, and it's, like you said, it just seems like it makes sense.
Yeah, it makes so much sense to us, but I think one of the challenges and one of the reasons it's so incredibly cool that you're doing what you're doing is that, like, I think people who are outside this world of restaurants are completely ignorant, and hence the Bloomberg sort of statements, and there's a big educational thing that needs to come from people who understand what this is and who live this life.
Yeah, you just need to make it accessible. Just like restaurant operators, you're working nights, weekends, holidays, around the clock. You know, when you're trying to comply with the law, you need stuff to be straightforward. I think sometimes it's similar, you know, when you're dealing with the public or you're dealing with politicians. They're busy. They have a lot of things going on. If you want them to pay attention, you want them to understand, you have to make things make sense for them. You can't get too much into the weeds.
Well, that's a good note to end on. So normally this time in the show, we do the This Week in Behavior quiz, and I actually created a quiz appropriate for today's show, which was I was going to name a bunch of restaurants and let you guys all guess what their Department of Health grade
was. Their grade?
That sounds awesome.
Yay! It's,
well, I started doing it, and then I realized, like, this is...
hard.
Mean. This is, like, because I think the system is inconsistent and screwy and unfair, I decided I can't come on here and out restaurants that have C's that I actually think are perfectly good, perfectly safe, perfectly clean restaurants. And what I was hoping to do was, like, find, you know, a bunch of crappy sounding restaurants that had A's and a bunch of, like, really great fine dining places that had B's, which I did find. But once I made the list, I felt really... like, I know some of these people. I was like, I can't out you for your B. So I'm only going to do the really fun ones.
Fair enough.
Okay, so Joe, our engineer, you ready, Joe?
Yeah, I don't think that this one's going to be my strong suit, but let's try it.
All right. All right. There's a Taco Bell Pizza Hut Express on East 14th Street. What do you think their letter grade is?
A.
Joe?
Yes, also A.
Andrew?
Oh, I almost hung up by accident.
You got to play the game. This is the fun part.
If they're open up, I'm sure they're sanitary enough to serve the public as determined by their last inspection.
Such the
diplomatic.
I was going to say, what a
I think they have an A.
They have a B. This is a trick question. You guys thought I was aiming low.
That was a trick question.
One just closed in Penn Station, I believe.
Because of the health department issue?
Yeah.
Not because it's shitty food.
No.
There were a lot of restaurants in Penn Station that had to close.
I was just reading about it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I didn't see that. You guys should give me a quiz on recent events. Okay. Well. The Zen Palette, the vegetarian restaurant on Union Square East.
B.
Huh. C.
Joe?
A.
Andrew?
A.
They have an A.
Dang.
Yeah. They're a good one. Coyote Ugly.
Oh, my God.
A.
Coyote Ugly, the bar where the women dance on the bar top. Is that a
Is
health
that
violation? Is there an actual rule against that, Andrew?
A.
They have to wear slippers.
They have to wear hairnets while they're dancing.
Andrew says A.
Correct.
Joe?
I'm going to say C.
C. Elena?
I said A.
A.
I said A.
A. You're all wrong. They have a B.
Oh.
Now, I need to. The caveat is that I got this information from the Department of Health website, so I think there's a high chance that it's inaccurate. I have in the past seen the grade of my restaurant be incorrect on the website. So, well, thank you very much, Andrew Ridgey, for being part of the effort to get the Department of Health to do their job better. We're all in favor of them existing and
agreed.
Protecting the diners in New York City and the other things they do. And I think we can all be allies in them helping us be better and us helping them be better. And it sounds like you're doing a good part to make that happen.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Thank you very much. All right. That's all the time we have for today. So big thanks to Andrew Ridgey of the New York City Hospitality Alliance and Elena Matt of Elena Matt.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks to the woman who consistently gets an A from the New York City Department of Health, no matter who the inspector is, Hannah Howard.
Yay, A plus.
The How to Behave theme is courtesy of John Lundbaum and Big Five Chord. Check them out at BigFiveChord.com. Thanks to Joe Galarraga for engineering today's show. You can always find episodes of How to Behave and lots of other great shows at HeritageRadioNetwork.org. I'm Brian Kaiser. And I didn't actually write a cute thing to wrap up today's show with. I'm so unprofessional.
There, you just did it.
We give you an A anyway.
This is How to Behave on the Heritage Radio Network.
Thanks for listening to this program on HeritageRadioNetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.